If you'll stand with me as we read from Romans 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Be seated. You know, we read here in this section of text this idea of the mind. And I was reading a story the other day in a book, and it was written by a college professor. And this college professor was talking about at the end of the semester, and you probably have done this as a student. If there's any teachers in here, you might understand this. But at the end of the semester, he said that it always became just kind of this grueling time. As he said it, it became this weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because at the end of the semester, there were semester tests. There were papers that had to be written. And he said it never failed that during that time, he would receive emails or phone calls or whatever about excuses and things to get out of the test. Maybe if you were a student, you did this. I look over Ben, and Ben's nodding because he's a professor. But he just said it was inevitable that he would receive all of these many different messages from so many places, from so many students, saying they couldn't do this. And so you can imagine how this would jade a professor, how this would kind of just, notes came in, the professor would just have a certain perspective when he read them. But he notes there was this one time in which two different students, they weren't related, sent him a note about how they would have to miss because they had to go to a funeral. Same funeral, two students, didn't know each other, but they had to go to this funeral. And the professor read the notes, and in his words, this is what he said. He said, "Admittedly, I was a bit suspicious. Two students, unrelated to each other, going to the same funeral. Yeah, right. But my heart sunk below my knees when I saw the pictures and the RIPs on social media and eventually watched their tears fall on my office desk later. It was sobering and disheartening." It's easy, like the professor's story that we just read, to have cynical thoughts about others. It's easy to have cynical thoughts like the professor on certain situations. And we have to realize that that formation, that kind of cynical, even, you know, at times fatalistic thinking, it comes from somewhere. And it's a mindset that comes from somewhere. It doesn't come from out of nowhere. It's formed in us. The reason we think about certain things in a certain way is because either we've heard it from others or it was how we were raised. I mean, I think about how I was raised in San Angelo in West Texas with a certain way of seeing the world, a certain way of thinking about other people, a certain way of how I talked about other people. And you probably have the same story as well. And there's a reason why you think the way you think. There's a reason why, like the professor who has this story of these students, he has been shaped to think a certain way about a certain group of students. And I know that you probably heard the phrase, and I've heard it, this idea of, well, I'm just kind of set in my ways. Who in here has heard that? I'm just kind of set in my ways. It's kind of the excuse that we use to think however we want to think or say whatever we want to say, because it's just, you know, I'm just set in my ways. Or that's just who he is, or that's just who she is. However, what we begin to find and what we begin to see, and as we read this text in Romans 8, we begin to see that these ways are not a hardwired set of beliefs and actions, that they're actually formed over time, and they're formed through our environment, and they're formed through our experiences, and they're formed through our relationships. I mean, prejudices, biases, behaviors become a part of us as our brain begins to create certain pathways so that when a situation arises, our actions kind of follow those ways in which we were formed. Our thinking kind of follows those pathways and how we've heard things. But here's the thing. And as we read the text, and as you see the text, thinking, engaging our minds actually matters. Because we do it every day. Every day we engage our minds. What we think about constantly is translated into how we live in the world, how we treat others, and how we speak about events around us. All of this is first formed inside of our minds, and then it's put into concrete action through our words and our deeds. And so the text for today in Romans 8 speaks to this kind of thinking. And actually what we see is it speaks to two different ways in which thinking is translated in our life. And what we begin to see in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, we notice this word he uses, and I bolded it in that, but he uses the word minds. And he uses the words mind, I believe, four times in these two verses. And when he's speaking of minds, Paul is speaking of a mindset. And I like how one commentator says it. She says it this way. She says it as she talks about, as Paul talks about this mind, he's actually speaking towards a mindset. And this mindset is facing toward what one is living by. Facing toward what one is living by. In another way, it's facing toward what we have allegiance to. And whatever we have allegiance to is where we're going to go, is how we're going to think. So that one's life can either be directed toward, as we see in Paul, so that one's life can either be directed toward the flesh or the spirit. And so as I was writing this week, the theme of the sermon was Free Your Mind, which is also an in vogue song, which you don't need to go listen to. But that's what came to mind is Paul is speaking about this freedom of the mind that we need to realize that there's a bigger way and a bigger view to see things. And so Paul's speaking to this, and Paul's speaking to the idea that our minds can be changed, and our minds can be transformed. Paul continues to talk of this freedom in the first four verses that we read last week in the Spirit. And when the Spirit of Christ comes into our lives, God's people are now freed from condemnation. You're freed from shame, and you're freed toward the glory of God. There is now a freeing in the mind that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he says this, and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And then he says this, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul says there's a way of thinking in which the Spirit takes all thoughts captive into Christ. And so what comes out is Jesus. But here's where the difficulty of all of this lies. And I was reminded of this difficulty of thinking in a quote that I saw the other day. And the gist of the quote was this: any person can call themselves a Christian, but following Jesus takes courage. Did you hear that one more time? Any person can call themselves a Christian, but following Jesus takes courage. It's easy to give lip service to Jesus. It's easy to give lip service to Christ and say that I'm a Christian. I mean, when you really think about it, all of us in here can say that we're a Christian, but our mindset begins to betray the words that we say when we call ourselves a Christian, because our mindset, what happens is in our mind, the concrete actions of what we do in life begin to tell the real tell. We can say words. It's easy to say words. It's easy to say hollow words. I was watching an episode of Friends yesterday, and yes, I know. But I was watching an episode of Friends yesterday, and Chandler is put on a date with Rachel's boss, and he has this tendency of saying at the end of the date, he goes, "This was great. I'll call you soon," and he just walks away. Well, he never calls Rachel's boss, and Rachel's boss gets mad, and Rachel comes to Chandler and says, "You said you would call him." And Joey and Chandler or Ross are all sitting there, and what do they say? All guys say that. We don't really do it. Well, she took it literal, and so Handler had to call the boss, and so on and so forth. And so she finally had to tell the boss that he didn't like her, but at the end of it, he said, this was a great date, I'll call you later, and he walks away. All that to say is, we're really good at giving lip service and saying things that people want to hear, but it's our actual mindset, our thinking, what we're pointed towards, that actually gives us away. And so when I was reading this, quote, any person can call themselves a Christian, but following Jesus takes courage, all these things begin to line up that even though I can say it, I wonder what my mindset is and what it's facing towards, what its thinking is. And is it really facing towards Jesus? Is it really got the mind of the Spirit? Is it really every thought captive to Christ? And in so doing, what comes out of me is those actions, or is it something other than? Is it something other than that Paul speaks about? Because calling yourself a Christian does not always mean that you or I are following in the ways of Jesus. It is not a mindset to just say over and over you are a Christian. What matters, Paul tells us, is that what our thoughts are standing towards, where our thoughts are rooted. Our freedom and the extent of our freedom will not be seen in our words, but will be seen in our actions and in our deeds. Our mind and our mindset will either be in harmony with the way and the will of the Spirit, or it will be opposed to the way and the will of the Spirit. There is no middle ground. Did you notice that in this text? There is no middle ground here. And it brings me back to that guy. You remember that guy we talked about last week, the sixth and seventh century church father. You remember him, Maximus the Confessor, and this is what he says, and I like what he says here. And Paul says it a different way in 1 Corinthians. But he says, the mind that is joined with God and abides with him through prayer and loving desire will become wise and good and powerful and merciful and long-suffering. In a word, it will come to know in itself almost all the characteristics that are godlike. Did you catch that? The mind that is joined with God will have a certain action and way of living. Paul says it a little bit different, and Paul said it before Maximus in 1 Corinthians 2:16, where he said, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, the difficulty is the flesh just doesn't give it up. The sinful nature of the world continues to press against us and wage war in our minds. Glenn just mentioned it with news. He's right. There's a lot of bad news out there, and it continues to bombard us, and it continues to fill us, and it continues to try to take captive our thoughts and change the way we think, change the stance and toward we look, right? We look towards a certain ideological, whether it's political or otherwise, but that's what we do. And that tends to be our stance, not Jesus. Because the world will not give it up. The world will constantly be coming after us. Paul says this in Romans 7. The view of the world and everything that the world gives us, though, is this. And this is where we got to grasp this. Is as the world tries and tries and tries to capture our thoughts, have you noticed that what it does is it takes a great big world and starts slowly making it smaller and smaller and smaller until everything you think and what you look through is this small little peephole, and there's only a few people who can fit into it, right? So your thinking has this way of only letting a few people into it so you can see and nobody else. The world is really good at this. It makes you think that you know everything. And if you have a teenager, you get that. That you know everything. You know everything about God. You know what is right and what is wrong. You know everything. The world has a way of saying what Romans 7 said is this, that everything becomes I. So what does thinking become? It becomes all about you. Everything goes through you. And we see that mindset every day. And if we take a moment to reflect on our thinking today, my question to you is, what occupied your mind yesterday and what's occupying your mind right now? What occupied your mind yesterday and what's occupying your mind right now? Because that'll tell you, that may give you away if you're not just giving lip service to Jesus or if you're actually living like Jesus. A mind with thoughts set on the flesh, held captive by sinful nature, will look a certain way. Paul actually says it looks a certain way. Paul actually says it treats people a certain way. I mean, it makes us think smaller. It makes us think tinier. But Paul also says that the Spirit comes to challenge all of that way of thinking in that last part of verse 6. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The Spirit enters into your life and it challenges, it pushes back against. Thinking through the filter of self is limiting the capacity to be able to see and view beyond yourself. And that maybe others are important, and that actually others are not an enemy or a threat to you. The self and any freedom from this mindset finds its thinking, as Paul says in the next verse, to be hostile to God. Get this. You start making enemies of people. You start making your neighbor your enemy. You start thinking that way, and everything you're thinking is all in yourself. Paul says that is completely hostile to who God is. That can't be the Spirit in you. If you find yourself being hostile towards everyone around you, if you find yourself thinking that only certain people you can look through the people because they look a certain way, they talk a certain way, they act a certain way. Paul says, other than that is hostile. The Spirit challenges all of this. The Spirit pushes back against all of this. Hostility towards others, for you or me, is not freedom, but becomes nihilism. We're just trying to end it all. It becomes to the point of this way of thinking in which nobody can fit through that little peephole in which you view the world, and the only person can be you. It's what I've said many a times before in my thinking. You want to know what the best church would be? A church of me and me alone. Because then everybody would agree with me. Because I know I'd agree with myself until tomorrow when I won't. But that's what we're talking about here. Changing our thinking, changing our mindset means, as kingdom people, we do not think like everyone else. We don't think like the world. Condemnation of others from verses 1 through 4, gone. Compassion and empathy fill our lives. And as they do, we will see and think about a great big world that needs God. And even in that, we begin to honor what the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And yes, here's the thing, you're not set in your ways. The good news is, researchers are only beginning to scratch the surface in the field of neuroscience. What at one time was believed to be the case, that our ways and our thinking is kind of set and concrete, the brain can actually be rewired and reformed. Researchers find that brains have the ability to adapt and create new pathways into adulthood. Our brains, get this, can be transformed and rewired. So maybe Paul knew what he was talking about in Romans 12, 1 through 2. And we are transformed in the renewing of our minds. Or maybe the great poet, Bob Dylan, had it right. Change my way of thinking. Make myself a different set of rules. Gonna change my way of thinking. Gonna make myself a different set of rules. Gonna put a good foot forward and stop being influenced by fools. Paul speaks to our life and our thinking and asks, is your mind right now being influenced by fools? Is your stance toward the fools of the world, towards those things where moths and rust can destroy? And as you look at the world seems to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Where only a few more people can enter and a couple others, but then they have to go because they're not so much like you. Or can we be like Paul, as Paul says, you can be renewed in your mind through the Spirit. Let the Spirit challenge what you're thinking. Let the Spirit pull you more towards Jesus. That's your stance. That's your filter. And see the great big world out there of people who need God, who don't need condemnation, who don't need shame. Mind of the flesh or mind of the Spirit? Which one is at work in you today? Which one do you feel free from? Because I think you know. I really think you know where your mind is right now. Paul tells us and gives us this real easy thing and says, if you want to know if the mind of the Spirit is in you, if you want to know if the stance, if you've been freed from a small way of thinking and released to look bigger and look at the world around you and what God is doing, Paul says there's a way to look at it, and he says it this in Galatians 5. It's the easiest answer in the Bible when someone wants to say, hey, are you living like Jesus? It's really easy. It's the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Get this. There is no law against these fruits of the Spirit. And those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So any mindset that you have, the Spirit comes in, challenges it, and the Spirit crucifies it. And if we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And we get that part where Paul says, you're hostile to God. So where's your mind at today? And I know that your mind can be changed. How do I know that? Partly because today's Father's Day. And there was a moment 15 years ago I thought one way. And there was a moment 14 years ago when everything changed. You are not set in your ways. God is actually freeing you from being set in your ways. To think about the world and to think about others differently. That's what we're being called to today. That kind of freedom. To where every thought, every action is taken captive by the Holy Spirit. I hope everyone in here has a happy Father's Day. Dads, go do some yard work or whatever else you're supposed to do, but enjoy it. But if you have any needs, if you're struggling with anything, if you find yourself struggling with how you're thinking and what you're thinking about or finding it being hostile to God, we're here. You can talk to us. You got people next to you who can talk to you as well. But come now as we stand and as we sing.